we have
all the buzzwords just from the beginning.
You really don't need to build like Facebook from the get-go. You can literally launch something in a couple of hours or days.
Not really. not really.
First users are like a first love. You never gonna forget that.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember the names. I remember.
Oh my god. Your girlfriend is not jealous?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know them.
Okay. Sounds creepy, to be honest.
So in 2 months, we have actually launched and launched marketing campaigns to.
So you literally do the job for the government by improving healthcare.
Doing the Jesus work.
We will cut it if needed, but is it legal?
Yeah, it's GDPR compliant and HIPAA compliant. Let's cut it.
Okay.
We will cut it.
And did you manage to achieve this dream state of any founder being able to get money from users before actually having the product?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I wish I could.
It's only me and Roman who were once able to do that. Cheers. Hello, dear guys and girls, and welcome to the third episode of our podcast about no-code for no-code enthusiasts and startup founders. And today in our studio is me, Andrew, as usually, and Roman. And in addition, today we have a very prominent and distinguished founder, a dear friend of ours, Dima Komalenko.
Hey, guys. Thanks for kind words and thanks for having me over.
Thank you for coming here to our episode to talk about your experience building an amazing startup that we're going to talk about in a while. And really excited to hear about your experience. Yep. But before we jump into that, can you share 2 words? What do you do in life? How do you spend your weekends?
Oh, yeah, that's a tough question. Between my two companies, I don't have that much time, but just trying to stay active and doing some sports over the weekends. Some windsurfing.
Cool. Awesome. like windsurfing too. And wakeboarding.
You kind of showed it to me. So thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So as you might probably guess, we are friends and hang out a lot and actually partners in a couple of companies. But let's focus today on your most recent one, which is called Rozmova or Clearly. Mm-hmm. How did you come to that? What's the difference between them? And what is your unique selling proposition that you wanted to launch?
Yep. Let me tell a bit more about what Clearly is. Clearly is a mental health platform that matches clients and therapists, psychotherapists. And we are also redefining how therapy works with AI.
All the buzzwords from the beginning. Okay. We can cut and finish here. Okay.
Yeah, got to have the hype, man.
Okay.
So we have started 2.5 years ago. And basically what I have noticed, and basically me and co-founder were in personal therapy back in the day. And a lot of our friends were also in the personal therapy. And what we have found is that it is kind of challenging to find a good therapist for yourself. So you have to either ask friends or trying to search online, but there weren't platforms designed for it. There were some lousy old school listings for therapists, but there wasn't a platform.
And you mean this is about Ukrainian market in particular?
We started initially, we have started as Rozmova, on Ukrainian market. So Rozmova in Ukrainian is like a conversation, and it was a good name for a mental health platform. And when we moved to other countries, we have rebranded into Clearly.
Oh, so you already moved out of only Ukrainian local market and have global ambitions?
Yes, we are now operating in 3 countries and working in Ukraine, Spain, and Poland.
Awesome. Amazing traction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can really relate too. I wasn't able to find a good therapist for myself before Rozmova, honestly. And only with the launch of Rozmova, I was finally able to go through all the listings, find the one that I liked, that matched my request and experience, and really had positive experience.
I could help.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, me too. Actually, the onboarding flow, that was pretty useful, where I can like select the problem and the matching is real powerful.
Yep. Yep. Thanks.
What actually like motivated you like from moving from the like planning stage to real prototyping and development? What was the key point?
Yes. So I always wanted to build some like successful business that had an impact, and obviously this one had an impact. And initially, our planning stage consisted of going through the competitors and like interviewing users and trying to understand what their needs are. And pretty quickly, we realized that, okay, it sounds like a promising idea, and we wanted to test it out. We didn't have a huge budget for it, so we just wanted to do a quick test whether this idea would work or not without like building a huge product around it.
Got it.
And what was the initial budget, if it's not a secret, that you wanted to spend?
I think the initial investment from our savings was like $50,000, and we spent it. That was spent on product and marketing and some initial.
So it's all together included.
Yes, yes. So the first like iteration, it was not only product, but the first iteration was $50,000, and I think we spent around half of that for the product development.
Pretty lean and pretty cost efficient.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll get to how do you manage to achieve that. But before, I also wanted to ask, you mentioned that this idea came from your own like need and pain, and without and you being unable to solve it at that time with existing solutions. Mm-hmm. And in general, it is a really great point. If you start from your own pain and solve it through a product that you productize and launch to the market so that others can benefit from that as well. But on the other hand, I know that it's also really important to validate that it's not only your own local pain and unique one, and that others have similar problems. Did you do any like validation research on this topic?
Yeah, that's a very valid point, because obviously it every idea where you have your own pain in it, where you have this skin in the game, it feels like a good idea, but we had way too many such ideas in the past, and they didn't receive any traction. So yeah, first thing that we did is we validated with the users, and afterwards we understood that okay, even if this idea feels great, we still shouldn't like spend too much time and effort on it. So we just try to stay as lean as possible.
Okay, and so what was this validation phase? How many users did you talk to, or how many responses did you collect?
Yeah, I think we had a survey with about 100, 200 responses, and spoke with like 20 users and 10 therapists over a period of months.
Nice. And did you manage to achieve this dream state of any founder being able to get money from users before actually having the product?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, I wish I could.
It's only me and Roman who were once able to do that.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement, yeah.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't. Yeah, we still had to do something. But I still think that our initial product was pretty lean, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to generate generated money without any like code or heavy investments in it.
So with such limited budget, as you said, like $50,000, how did you choose your like approach? Which tools you started to use? And I heard that you are using like no code and low code tools. Mm-hmm. Like what was the stack?
Before we dive into tech, like, it is important to understand what features we wanted to build. Mm-hmm. So this initial interface with users helped us to narrow down on what is the critical flow and what value can we bring with like minimal feature set. So we created this feature set, and then we decided to try to like think, okay, how can we build it? I have an engineering background myself, and I understand like what it takes to build this flow, but we... Like I spoke with you guys, and I saw that you have been building some products pretty fast, and that's why I decided to go with no code tools. And you have recommended to use Bubble, and I checked it out. I think it was a great fit for the initial version. So yeah, we went with Bubble and Make, I think, Airtable for the initial tech stack, and have built the initial product pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty fast, it's how fast were you able to launch the initial version with Bubble?
I think the whole process from the design stage to like design stage, implementation, testing, beta testing, it took around 2 months. The developer itself is around 1 month. So in 2 months, we have actually launched and launched marketing campaigns to test how it works.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And when was the launch date? How was was it a big fanfare on Friday late evening or not?
It wasn't on Friday. I don't actually quite remember. But I remember first users coming in and like trying to see that, okay, they're doing something. Oh, we have a first payment. It was quite a good time. Yeah. It went smooth, pretty smooth. Of course, we had some small bugs over the first couple of months, but we had a mobile developer on support, so we quickly fixed them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the release was pretty good.
Awesome. First users are like a first love. You never gonna forget that.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember the names. I remember.
Oh my God. Your girlfriend is not jealous?
No.
Okay.
I don't know them.
Okay. Sounds creepy, to be honest.
So what was the Rozmova's team at that time? Mm-hmm. How did you like organize the protests, like meetings and team at all?
Mm-hmm. So we were a pretty small team initially. Two of us were co-founders, and we had a product manager from the day one, and then we quickly hired a psychotherapist and a head of marketing. So we had like a team of 5 people, and with this team we got the initial results and scaled the product to about 50,000 in GMV in sales. So like team of 5 people and also a developer, a contractor developer for mobile.
From where? Where did you find contractor developers?
You guys gave it.
Okay, yeah. Just for the record, so we, some of the team were the contractors who helped Rozmova develop the product, full disclosure. And just for the record also, the GMV means?
Yeah, it's total sales. It's how much in total the clients pay for the sessions, and we take a percentage of that.
Okay, and part of that goes to therapists, so that is not actual...
Most of it go to therapists. So the business model is that clients pay for the session, we take some percentage, and most of it goes to the therapist.
Okay, so pretty typical marketplace business model and structure. Cool. In this initial launch that you included, what was the scope? What feature set were in that launch, what was the most killer feature that users liked and paid for?
Mm-hmm. We understood from the interviews, we understood that the matching was valued among users, and also the details on the therapist profile, videos of the therapist were important. So we invested heavily into that. Initially, the feature set was that we had a landing page. We had this quick form where users enter their preferences, and then we had a results page with multiple details, with a video of a therapist, and a checkout screen. Basically, that's it. We didn't have any registrations profile. Even for therapists, we didn't have it. So the therapist had to like enter the info into type form, and then we manually enter it into the database. And we managed to work it for like a year or two, and it worked fine.
For the whole year, and for how much revenue did you generate by the end of this year, for example?
I think we, with Bubble, we went from 0 to 150,000 in sales.
In total monthly. GMV sales monthly.
Yeah, monthly.
So as it's really thumbs up for you as an experienced founder and really sticking to the best advice, like doing things that don't scale, as you mentioned, doing a lot of things manually and staying as lean as possible.
Yeah.
On the product development, because guys, you really don't need to build like Facebook from the get-go. You can be like Dima, build the very minimum product features that users actually need for, spend like very minimum budget on that, and save the rest of the budget for iterations after the actual feedback, and be as successful as Dima. Who wouldn't like that? Come on.
If you say so. But yeah, it was actually one of the reasons why we went with the no code initially, is that we understood that we might not build the ideal feature set initially, when we understood that we had to iterate pretty fast. And that is why we just went with Bubble and we iterated several times to find the good a good feature set and figure out all of the small details, what users like and what they don't like. And this is why we went with, instead of like creating all of this heavyweight design and specifications and development, we just quickly prototyped, quickly built some features. For example, one of the examples is that we wanted to build gift cards for like Christmas season. And we, as a startup, we were always busy and didn't quite realize until it is Christmas. So we're like, okay.
one day before Christmas.
We have 2 days. And we actually built this gift card feature in like 2 days. So we like, users entered their info.
From
like
the very planning.
We just quickly drove it. Even without design, we just like told the no-code developer, Vlad, and I think, yeah, he's great, that, okay, it should look like this. He's like, okay, say no more. I'll build it like this. I quickly did the backend thing and it went live in 2 days.
Awesome. That's what we like about no-code as well. Is you literally can just yourself, all developers are pretty much designers too. You can literally launch something in a couple of hours or days.
Yeah. Actually, this particular feature, we still didn't have time to implement it in the code. So we still use this small Bubble piece where users can still like buy gift cards with on this old Bubble thing because we don't have time to put it on the tech roadmap now.
I see. Awesome.
So like you switched from Bubble, right, as far as I understand, and what was the reason, which stack you like moved to?
We started to discuss migrating to code in about year and a half. And the initial reason was SEO requirements. We couldn't quite do all those requirements in Bubble. That is the one reason. And the second reason is translations. We had to manage, as we scale to other countries, we had to manage a lot of complex translations for all of the static pages and dynamic pages and dynamic texts. And it was a challenge in Bubble. You can still do it, but it required some maintenance and double checking on our end.
Mm-hmm. So like these two features that you have mentioned actually support in Bubble, but you have some like specific case, right? Which was not doable at that moment.
Yeah. We had to have some very specific requirements where we had this information about the therapist, and this information should be translated and available in multiple languages for search engine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to do it in Bubble.
Yeah, so it was still possible, just not the way that you wanted in particular, and it wasn't the most optimal solution.
Yeah.
So even though we love like no-code stack and Bubble ourselves, but in truth, there are still some very little tiny cases, and you managed to find, you stumble upon a few of them where no-code is not the best solution. But apart from that, as more specific, like SEO requirements, did you find any other like blockers, security issues, like flexibility problems?
Not really, but we understood that. Okay,
that's correct question. Thank you.
Not really. I'm not sitting with a gun. No.
But seriously,
I think it was.
you can be honest now.
I'm not quite sure if I can.
You can.
Guys told me that they will not pay me if I. we didn't face those limitations, but we understood like as we scale to other countries, we might face limitations here and there. That is why we received the funding from our investor and then decided to migrate to native code, but only after investment, because before that, even as we started to generate sales and revenue and became profitable, we still found that it is better to go with no code. And only once we received the investment, we decided to put aside some of it for the product.
Mm-hmm.
So your path was from starting from the initial version from Bubble, then migrating to Webflow for the key marketplace features for the purposes of SEO, top-notch SEO requirements.
Yep.
By the way, this is a really pros of going on with Webflow if you really need strong SEO. and still stay on the low code, no code stack. And then once you actually receive the investment, your investors push you to start moving into the native, traditional native stack, right?
Yeah, it is important to understand all of this no code and code landscape, and you guys have helped us enormously with it. So we had this problem with SEO with Bubble, and you suggested to migrate to Webflow for this, and we actually have migrated to Webflow, all of our static pages and some of our dynamic pages to Webflow, and it helped a lot. So it's still considered no code, and we did that. Then we started to slowly migrate some components to code, but still, I think, yeah, still a lot of components are still on no code. So we still have admin panels on Retool. We still have Webflow for all of the static pages. We still have a lot of automations, internal automations run with no code tools.
Which tools?
A lot of internal processes which required automations, reminders, data, they still use make.com for those migrations.
Mm-hmm. So even though for your investors you pitch that you're fully code...
Well, it's still a lot of code.
Yeah, but only the code you secretly still send and use low code at night.
I think we use like best of the both worlds. So the client platform, all of the web panels, they are in code, and internal tools, they use no code heavily.
Awesome. As I mentioned, as experienced founder, you hit it right on the nail. You hit the nail on the head and really leverage what is best for your product and not just what like the market thinks about what is best to build upon. But you came for this path from starting with Bubble, Webflow, no code, and then migrating. Do you regret this decision and all of this migration that you had to make?
Not at all. Actually, I agree that there is a bias, especially among investors, and they always ask, like, do you have an internal tech team or what is your tech stack? And we had this initially in no code, and they were kind of reluctant to invest. But then we had traction and users and real revenue, and in the end, it was the decisive factor for them. So traction and users and revenue is much more important than the tech stack you built upon on. And only once we received the investment, we decided to migrate parts of the features to code. So we solved that one.
Mm-hmm. So what was this initial investment that you received?
Yeah, we received an initial pre-seed investment of $200,000 and spent around like 30-40% of that to rebuild the product.
Awesome. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So great point that you make, that guys don't focus less on the technical stack unless you're a specifically technical tool, and more, as Dima mentions, on your actual metrics, scaling users, revenue, or whatever the most important metric is in your startup, on that. And that will, despite any tech stack that you might have, code or not code, that will be the decisive factor for your future success.
Yes, and I think it is important. I wouldn't change any of the decisions, and I think we had pretty good decision making, partly thanks to you guys, with a tech stack, because we have started with like really lean Bubble version for the first version, and once we faced some limitations, we migrated to Webflow, and you have supported us throughout this process. And even now, once we migrated to code, right now what is on our roadmap is mobile apps, and basically we have to build for mobile apps for clients and for therapists for iOS and for Android, and instead of building all of them natively, which would cost around like $500,000, instead we used your expertise to basically wrap our web applications into the mobile apps and launch those.
So you used natively.
Used natively, basically it's a tool that helps to build, to wrap your web app into the native code and launch it on the App Store and Google Play.
Just for $50.
Yeah. That's way, way less than $500,000.
Roma, since we don't have any sponsors yet for this episode.
Sponsor of this episode natively. Convert your website into mobile native app.
Yes. Pay us $50.
but just pay us $50.
Can you tell a little bit more into words, like what natively offers and why it's so powerful?
Yeah, like the natively originally started from the problem that we had is that mobile apps development, as Dima mentioned, is not cheap at all. But if you are doing the business right now, you probably already have a website. And the idea of natively that you can take your website, wrap it into the native app and leverage and use like all native features you need, like push notification, app purchases, geolocation, etc. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty good way to just start from to move to a mobile world with a low budget. I have a really like important question about AI. So do you have AI in Rozmova, or are you planning to build something?
We have AI features on our roadmap. And why we decided to go this way is that as we scaled our platform to other countries, we understood that while psychotherapy is pretty effective at solving mental health problems, we saw that it is still not so accessible and available to general population because of the price and some limitations. And that is why we have brainstormed and created a product and a roadmap for the AI features, basically trying to improve the therapy experience mm-hmm. between the sessions. So a client might have like two sessions or one session per month. And then we have this between sessions therapy, like small therapy sessions with the bot to collect the mood, collect the information from the client. And it improves the therapy experience and makes mm-hmm. it more available and more accessible to people.
Mm-hmm. So, and a person will be able like to communicate with this bot to get more info about his session with a real therapist, right? It's not like consulting or something like that.
Yeah, it's still up in the air. A lot of these features are still being discussed. But yeah, mm-hmm. basically you would be able to communicate with the bot and like expressing your frustrations or moods to it and getting some help from the bot. And this information will then be passed to a therapist so to make the sessions more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We will cut it if needed, but is it legal?
Yeah, it's GDPR compliant and HIPAA compliant. Let's got it.
Okay.
We will cut it or not? No, or is it okay? Okay. So any like lean approach right now you're trying or you're thinking about AI? So.
Yeah, I think lean approach is deep in my thinking process. So uh-huh. yeah, of course we are trying to be lean here and trying to build very simple solutions and seeing how they work, do they stick with users or not, and iterating there. We are not starting with like 10, 15 therapists which are training our AI models. Mm-hmm. I think the new tools, especially these Gen AI foundational models, are quite well trained, and you can build pretty good solutions that cover 80% of the cases. They are still not good enough to be released to public mm-hmm. for the first version, but you can test ideas pretty fast with them.
Okay, so we talked a lot about your initial idea, the development, the launch, and the investment. Let's talk a little bit about your like marketing and operations. What was your go-to-market strategy and how it evolved from the beginning till now?
Mm-hmm. So in Ukraine, we didn't have a good go-to-market strategy. We just launched, and partially it was good timing.
The war, you mean? The good timing?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Rozmowa launched just before the war, as far as I remember,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we launched like a week before the war. And initially what motivated us that we held these free sessions for clients, and we got some traction there. But yes, we just started with some paid campaigns and unpaid campaigns on Google, on for search engines with influencers. And that helped us to get this early traction. Initially, we grew about 30% month to month, and then we
30%, well,
30% yeah, month to month, and then we leveled off, and now we are at like 5%, 10% month to month growth in Ukraine. So yeah, in Ukraine we didn't have a proper go-to-market strategy, but nevertheless we grew. It was a good timing. A lot of people, due to the war and due to the war, a lot of the therapy migrated online, and we also leveraged that trend. And on other markets, now we have a better go-to-market strategy. So we have, we start with the initial set of a few therapists, or like 30 therapists, usually on a new market. And then we launch performance campaigns, usually Google PPC, maybe Meta ads. And in about 10 weeks, we are able to assess the acquisition cost on this market and assess the market viability for us. And once we do that, we can make a decision to scale our marketing and scale our team. So the initial like go-to-market test on each market takes about 2 weeks, 10 weeks, and requires like part-time person on our end.
So it sounds like you're building really like a flywheel of launching on the new market, testing, measuring, and then deciding whether to proceed or not based on the metric of each individual market, because as far as I understand, it's different market to market. And can you share some, for example, guidance on your LTV, customer acquisition costs in like Ukraine and other markets?
Mm-hmm. In Ukraine, we have LTV to customer acquisition cost of around 2.5 to 1.
That's almost the like dream.
Yeah, almost the dream. Unfortunately, it doesn't scale that well. So once we scale the performance campaigns and other campaigns, it quickly reaches 1-to-1 ratio. So we are being in this 2.5-to-1 ratio for now. And to new markets, it is different. It varies from market to market a lot. And and basically, as a marketplace, as a mental health marketplace, we have to launch in every new market anew. And this is why we have built our go-to-market strategy to be quick so that we can, in 10 weeks, we can test every new market. We cannot penetrate every market we think about, but there are some certain market conditions and evidence the market is good that we track.
Mm-hmm. Before launching, like in any market, what do you look at? Mm-hmm. What are some like red flags of not going there, or green flags where you would certainly want to?
Yeah, so we look at how generally mental health is covered and is happening in every new country. If the government is handling a lot of the support support and mental health coverage on a market, it means that usually we cannot provide value in this market. So if the healthcare system is efficient, if it is good, usually we don't have that much traction on this market. And if the mental health system is not that good, if there are gaps, especially in mental health, then there's a way, then we can provide value here, because people are looking for therapists. If they cannot go to a doctor and if they cannot to the local hospital or insurance to get mental health support, they will go online, and there where we step in. So we are going for the markets where there is demand and where the government is not covering it, and where the competition is not that strong. So there are some countries that fit the profile.
So you literally do the job for the government by improving healthcare.
Doing the G's work.
That's very, very, very modest. No, let's not cut it.
Jesus work. So that, God's work.
So that users can see how high you can go in your self-esteem if you start on no code and get your early traction too fast. Guys, stay up to the ground and don't be like Dima. Okay, but jokes apart.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, your story is pretty nice, and we want to hear some like challenges you had during that time. What you didn't get let you sleep at that moment.
I think the largest challenge for us was once we received a good traction and success in Ukraine, we have decided to move to other countries and launched our product in Poland. And in Poland, we didn't get the results we expected. So we had pretty high acquisition cost and lower LTV than we expected. And the reason was, and it was a challenge to figure it out and solve it. And so the challenge was that users in Poland expected a larger feature set than we had in Ukraine. So in Ukraine, we had a pretty quick flow and payment, and you could communicate with therapists right away. And in Poland, they expected more features, like a platform, an app they could download. So it was a challenge to figure it out and to build all of those features that were required for the product to be successful there. I think the other challenge was onboarding therapists. As we have faced a growth of like 30% month to month, we quickly had to onboard more therapists on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 50 initially, like 30 to 50 initially, and then we needed like 150 or like 300 therapists. And it was all still all managed in type form. And as we added more questions and required more therapists to fill it in, it was quite an unmanageable process. So, and we had to, quickly build this automated process on our product. So mm-hmm. that was also in a very hurry and rush.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. And you probably have a lot of like personal data in Rozmowa. Mm-hmm. How do you like ensure that they are in secure spaces and mm-hmm. everything is secure?
Mm-hmm.
Especially given that you started with like no code stack, were there mm-hmm. any like security or legal issues mm-hmm. connected with that?
Yep, those are very important issues, and we just started to engineer things with the security in mind from day one. So we are GDPR compliant, and we don't store any personal health information on our platform. And you can still be compliant if you engineer things properly with no code or code. It doesn't really matter. Bubble is GDPR compliant, and so are many of the tools, all of the tools we use.
So you were like from start to GDPR compliant,
yes.
On the high level, and since you didn't store any personal health information, you didn't need to be HIPAA compliant. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. But just for the record, if you need to, you can still yep. be HIPAA compliant pretty easily on any stack, including Bubble and Webflow that we yep. just talked about. It is not as straightforward as default approach, but you can still do it.
Yeah, your team has to have this expertise how to build those HIPAA compliant apps. Fortunately, we didn't have to be HIPAA compliant, but I know what it takes to be HIPAA compliant, and you have to have a team that understands it.
You mentioned that you closed 200K pre-seed round, and as far as I know, you're currently mm-hmm. Raising as well. What do your investors ask you right now, and what are your current plans and roadmap for mm-hmm. the upcoming future?
Yes, we are raising a seed round of $800,000 right now, and it's going well. We have received part of the investment already, and this money will be primarily used for the expansion in other countries, for launch in Spain, for expansion in Poland, and also for the AI features, for the AI roadmap that we currently have.
Yeah. So if you're interested to invest in Rozmowa, or you know anyone, investor or fund that could be interested to help Dima and Rozmowa team bring more therapy to people and improve their healthcare mm-hmm. and mental well-being, feel free to reach out to us or to Dima directly. There will be a contact in the notes and the description whenever you are watching this episode, and be part of this amazing story together mm-hmm. with Rozmowa and Clearly team.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have a great direction and we are profitable on our target markets. We just
investors forget this word profitable. Come on,
we are
we need to pitch activate.
Yeah, we are. We have a great traction, and we have launched in Spain, in Poland, and in Ukraine. We are operationally profitable, and we are raising this investment to speed up the expansion there.
Awesome, great. Anything else that you want to share with our listeners, or any particular requests that you might have?
Nope, I guess not. I think I think it's a good choice to start with no code initially. Don't have to invest that much money into this initial product. Yeah, and yeah, just wanted to thank you guys for suggesting this 3 years ago and helping us in the process. And yeah, thanks for inviting me today.
Thank you, Dima, as well, for coming to us and spending time with us, for taking the time from building Rozmowa and improving the world. It's been a pleasure to talk together. And thanks for your trust in us and the approach that we suggest. Hope listeners find it interesting and learn something from your experience, from the right decision that you made regarding being lean, iterating with your users, building things that don't scale, focusing on the value that you provide for users first, and achieving the success that you have right now. And stay tuned for our next episode. We will bring and invite more successful founders who can share their story with us, how they build their products, and so that you can learn the best from them and build your own world-changing product and startup. Take care and see you soon.
Thanks.
Cheers.